Hello, this is Jeff Watson with Traveller's Tales, which this week goes to Fiji.
Oh, no, it doesn't, Sunshine. This is an hijack. Now, you get all your lot together, because we're going for a nice little ride on this nice big aeroplane to North Korea. So you tell them, China, and make sure you get it right.
Yes, Fiji. I mean North Korea. The sun-drenched, green-hatted terrorists, the waving AK-47s, and the steady cramp of mortar shells. I remember the Plaza Hotel intimately before it was hit by a heat-seeking missile.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your hijacker speaking. We are presently flying at a height of 26,000 feet, and my position is right up the front in the cockpit holding a pistol against the pilot's head. There is a plenty cause for alarm. My men are positioned by the wings and the red doors with guns and grenades and will be coming around a little later to collect watches and for jewelry. Your in-flight movie will be a political re-education program, and all passengers are strongly urged to watch if you care about your health. We will shortly be landing in Southeast Asia, where we hope to fight a short pitch battle with the local airport police before flying on to Athens, Paris, and Munich, where we will be refused permission to land. We should arrive back at Fiji at approximately 3:15 p.m. local time, where we hope to blow up the plane on the tarmac. Finally, all passengers are asked to observe the no smoking signs during the gun battles. On behalf of myself, Mad Dog Tabuli, and other members of the Kebab Liberation Front, we hope you have a pleasant flight, and we look forward to hijacking you again in the near future. Thank you.
This is ABC Chart-Topping Radio, and we'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Lance Curtis, Angela Webber, Adam Bowen, Peter Smalley, Drew Forsythe, Peter Whitman, Bill Conn, and Bruce Spence. Special guests Jeff Watson and David Morrow. Music from Booker T. Welfare, Lotus Slage, Leg Break Molasses, Narcissus Montego, and Eli Bickerstaff. With Arthur Greenslade and his Bondi broadcasters. And as the band plays on, we're slightly out to lunch.
I summon thee, Beelzebub, to grant me thy unholy powers.
Slacken our hearts, thou dark one.
I summon thee with my unholy dagger and the fire and chalice of goat blood.
Slacken our hearts, thou dark one.
I summon thee through the forbidden power of the black arts.
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to be quiet.
Pardon?
This is a public library. Please read the sign, no chanting.
Well, I really won't be very long. I've almost finished.
I summon thee through the forbidden power.
That's quite the point. People are trying to read. They don't want weird, cabalistic raving and great clouds of sulfurous fumes emerging from the home handyman section.
We can move across to the religion and folklore section if you'd like.
Oh, but we'd have to redraw the pentagram, Ralph.
Oh, yes.
The section is irrelevant. If you persist in summoning up the devil, you'll have to leave the library. It's in the bylaws.
Oh, all right. George, we'll have to use your rumpus room again, all right? Everybody out.
Where are you getting that book?
What?
The rare book collection is not for loan.
But I need the book. Have you ever tried memorizing all those complicated ancient spells?
Actually, my own field is 19th century English literature.
So, you're telling me I can't take the book out and I can't use it here?
That's right.
Well, listen, devil worship is a ratepayer's too, young lady, and we have a right to use the library and its facilities, right, brother?
Oh, turn her into a tide, Ralph, and let's get on with it.
Look, why don't you just take your candles, your silly robes, and your disemboweled goat and get out?
Make us.
I will summon the head librarian.
Go ahead.
Dewey Decimal 666. Librarian, show thy trick. Young man, put that book down.
Don't step a card, oh, head librarian.
But I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just summoning the devil.
Be cast into the depths of the Sirian catalogue to wander for eternity through the back issues of Dolly magazine.
Oh, no.
favorite moments from the cutting room floor. Lots of excerpts from great movies. And today, an early scene from Gold Diggers of 1934.
Okay, Chuck, roll them.
Gold Diggers of 1934, scene one, take 105.
Oh, Mickey, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the money to save the orphanage now?
I don't know, Judy. Hey, I got an idea.
What is it, Mickey?
Let's put on a show.
But where?
Here, right here. We got the songs, we got the dances. And Beverly will be able to make us some really great costumes. What do you say, Bev?
Oh, no, wait, Mel. We're going to watch Behavior.
But Beverly, you're great at making costumes, and you can be in the show with us. Singing and dancing, it'll be...
Oh, that's off, Mickey. I don't want to be in your daddy's show. Making a fool of myself inside. I've got to watch Behavior.
Hey, wait a minute. I got another great idea, Judy.
What is it, Mickey?
Let's do the show naked.
Congress closed in session, the outlook is not bright. Fun is out of fashion, there'll be no cheer tonight. But at your game, I'm still the same stud that you once knew. We'll trade Hooverville for a Coup de Ville. This is what we'll do. Burn the stocks and fire the broker. Let's go where the best dressed folk are. Out together, any weather, jumping at the Waldorf. Let's check in and check the action. Here's my plan for satisfaction. While the jumping, we'll be humping upstairs at the Waldorf. We'll tip the maids and bellboys so they'll know the score. We'll live for days on canapes and barricade that door. Taxis honk and subways rumble. Let the city fuss and grumble. We'll be grinning. There's those in and hopping at the Waldorf.
Take five.
And then I woke up.
Daddy, what is sex?
well, it's the birds and the bees. When Mummy Bunny and Daddy Bunny want another little bunny, they ask your mother.
Johnny down the street said it's what you do with Mrs. Jones next door when Mummy's out.
What did you say?
I was playing in the street with Johnny, and he told me you and Trevor's mummy did sex together.
Well, what a silly little boy. I wonder where he got that silly idea from.
That's what I said. I said he was silly.
Good boy. Run along and play now.
So we went into the back garden and watched through the curtain.
You did what?
Johnny showed me how to watch through a gap in the curtain.
Johnny's a very bad boy.
Yes. He's not the only one, is he, Daddy?
What do you mean?
Trevor's a bad boy because he watched as well.
You're all very bad boys. What could you say?
We could see you wrestling with Mrs. Jones. Is that what sex is? Wrestling? Is it like wrestling day? Is it like wrestling?
Yeah. Yes, it's like wrestling.
Did you win, Daddy?
Did I what?
It looked like you were winning.
Run along and play.
We counted to three lots of times, and Mrs. Jones didn't get her shoulders off the top of once.
Daddy's reading his paper.
Johnny said you're the best wrestler he's ever seen.
Look, Daddy's getting very angry. Now, why don't you run along and play now?
I haven't got any toys.
You've got lots of toys.
Well, I'd really like to play with is one of those big computer games like we saw last week in the shops.
I told you before, Daddy can't afford one of those expensive computer games. Now, off you go.
Daddy, does Mummy know you wrestle with Mrs. Jones?
No, Mummy doesn't know. We'll keep it our little secret, shall we?
That depends.
Depends on what?
On whether you get me one of those computer games like we saw in the shop.
But that's blackmail.
Blackmail, Daddy?
Well, that's when one person uses emotional leverage to get what they want from the other person.
Oh, that's funny. That's what Mummy said sex was.
Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Trafalgar off the southwest coast of Spain for today's big match between the British Navy and the combined Franco-Spanish fleet. And for his comments on today's match, over to David Morrow.
Thanks, Brian. Well, it certainly is a real big atmosphere here today with 33 ships of the line from the French and Spanish fleet steamed up against the reigning champions, Britain, the current rulers of the waves. It should be a real needle contest with the Spanish eager to avenge a heavy defeat in the 16th century. On that occasion, of course, the British were inspired by a brilliant performance by Captain Drake.
But, of course, David, Drake won't be playing today.
No, but young Nelson's been doing very well lately, and I interviewed him before the game, and he reckons that he can win this one with one arm tied behind his back. Or, in this case, tied to the front of his jacket.
Looks like a lot at stake here today, David.
Yes, Brian, both sides are going for a place in history, and the winning team, of course, gets a crack at conquering Europe.
Also been rumours, David, in the press that Nelson was carrying an injury.
Well, he still is having trouble with his right arm ever since it was blown off at Santa Cruz. His right eye is still heavily bandaged, and there's also talk that his off-field liaison with a certain lady has affected his training. Well, he's certainly got a lot to prove out there today.
Well, the match is in full progress at the moment, and David, the English team seems to have the upper hand.
Yes, as we watch, the French flagship has just gone down, and Nelson's new tactics seem to be paying off. He's charged straight at Villeneuve's boys, and it's certainly disrupted their teamwork. Well, another brilliant performance by Nelson. He's certainly squashing any rumours about his loss of form. And there he is now, up on the deck. And oh dear, I think he's been shot.
Ooh, looks like a nasty one.
Yes, he's certainly gone down in a heap, and that looks very serious. Well, I think he's just getting a little bit too confident now. And now I see Hardy's coming over, and he's kissed him. I think Nelson asked for that.
Well, it's a pity to see that sort of thing out there. I feel there's far too much kissing on the battlefield these days, don't you, David?
Well, we'll have to leave it there. But there will be edited highlights of the battle later on tonight on Wellington's Wide World of War. The win leaves Britain at the top of the Ocean Waves League with 4 wins from their last 4 outings. And don't forget to join us again next week for the game between France and Austria at Austerlitz.
Action Plus on Channel 14 this evening. At 7:30 after I'm Witless News, there's a poser for Rod in The Young Riveters as Trev invests heavily in cocoa futures and Raylene eats her artificial leg. That takes us up to 8:30 and 60 morons. Then at 9:30, Chuck and Wayne get it all together in Thunderjacks, our continuing thrill-packed miniseries about a team of gay Californian cloud seeders. At 10, it's our movie premiere of The Dog and Goat Act of 1912 on ice. Yes, marvelous Clause 27 is intoned to the strains of Beethoven's 7th. Thrill to the fabulous light show as you see a real live prosecution. The costumes are fabulous. The singing exciting. The dancing is superb. Australia's first all dog and goat ice spectacular. Yes, all the humor, tragedy and pathos of this landmark legislation is brilliantly captured for you and your family to experience and remember. Entertainment Plus on Channel 14 tonight.
Out on the board, the old shearer stands, grasping his shear in his thin, bony hand. Fixed is his gaze on a bare belly pure. Glory if he gets her, won't he make killing a goo? Click. Go to shears, man, click, click, click. Wide is his pull and his hands move quick, up quick. He ring up, he look around, he's beaten by a blow, and curses the old snagger with the bare belly jaw. Click, go to shears, boy.
wireless.
That looks like a white comb in your hand.
It's not a white comb at all, no, man. It's a little comb. Little comb in E flat for making music. You remember? Like that. Shearing is all over. We've all got our check. Roll up your swag, boys. We're off on the track. The first pub we come to, it's there we'll have a spree. And everyone who'll come along is Jamaica rum with me. Click, go to Shears, man. Click, click, click. Why is he full and his hands move quick?
That was quick,
the ringer. He look around. He's beaten by a blow. And curses the old snagger with his bare belly jaw. Now this little sheep, you do your little dance to the music.
Hello there, nice to be with you again. And as usual, I'm speaking to you from my surgery here in Drainage Hills, and this week's letter comes from little Deirdre Custard of Refrigerator West, and that's not far from me, nice part of the world, Deirdre. And you write, "Dear Bruce, I am thinking of getting a snake as a pet, but I can't make up my mind what kind of snake I would like. I've thought of getting a brown snake or a tiger snake or even a copperhead, but I'm not sure. Which snake do you think is best for a small home with a small backyard? Thank you for your letter, Deirdre, and what beautiful handwriting you have, dear. Now, I'd just like to leave the question of the snakes aside for a moment, if I may, because reading between the lines, I think your letter is actually about rage. Rage and defiance, Deirdre, and if I can just read a little deeper into it, I think what you're really saying is that you live in a ghastly, cramped suburban home with a very oppressive family atmosphere, and you feel so enraged by the unfair pressure placed on you by your family, and I guess it's Mum and Dad and two spiteful brothers, that you want to kill them. Well, Deirdre, of course, murder is very effective. Death is quite permanent. In fact, it's one of the most final and permanent of all human activities, Deirdre. And, of course, this is why you want the snake. But I wouldn't recommend a snake. No, I think one of those kitchen knives people use for cutting up cat's meat or chopping parsnips up. I think, in fact, sometimes they're called a psychopath's knife. They're pretty good. But in this case, I don't think you should resort to murder. At least not at first, Deirdre. I think I'd try a really bad fight. A 12-gauge shotgun fired into the ceiling at breakfast is very effective. Or you could try running through the house in the middle of the night, shrieking at the top of your lungs and throwing gelignite out the windows. However, if you do decide on the snake, Deirdre, not a brown snake or a tiger snake, get a taipan. Beautiful striped colours, Deirdre. Doesn't eat a lot and utterly deadly. Anyway, I hope I've been of some assistance with your little problem, Deirdre. Now this is Bruce Lasis saying goodbye till next time, and please bear in mind, animals are only dumb because they can't talk.
Around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theater. It's the TUI Newsreel. Queensland. On the sun-drenched Gold Coast, citizens of Australia stand in readiness before the threat of imminent Japanese invasion. Our TUI Newsreel camera shows eager groundsmen preparing bunkers on the local golf course to face the Sons of Nippon. While here in the high street, this volunteer army of real estate agents stands guard outside banks and building societies as their commission checks for millions of yen from land deals are processed inside. United in defiance of the rising sun, the real estate agents of Queensland say, we can take it, or at least 10% of it. Egypt. one of the cradles of civilization, and here the historic Valley of the Kings, where in the 1920s Australian archaeologists discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, but so long lost in the midst of time. Now analysis of the mummified boy king's stomach contents has uncovered a perfectly preserved slice of sponge cake covered in chocolate and sprinkled with desiccated coconut. The Lamington, Tutankhamun's last meal, thousands of years before Christ. Australian know-how manifested in ancient Egypt thousands of years before the time of Christ. Romantic Italy and its ancient capital Rome, once the center of the historic Roman Empire and now, experts reveal, at the forefront of European democracy. Statisticians have come up with startling new evidence of the resilience of Italian politics. According to the figures shown here, by the year 2000, one Italian in three will have served their country as prime minister. Democracy in action in historic Italy. Switzerland. And the familiar face of Australian businessman and adventurer Dick Smith in this year's Swiss pedestrian crossing classic, held on a quiet cul-de-sac in this leafy lakeside Geneva suburb. At last year's Milan Open, we saw him cross a hotel lobby unaided. And recently he threw caution to the winds and took home the Tokyo Railway Footbridge Trophy. The famous horn rims twinkle in the morning sun as Dick Smith puts one sneaker foot into the road. But whoop, he's bowled by a Citroen bread van in the third minute. Tragedy for Dick Smith, but a sole contender in the event, he brings posthumous victory for Australia. The Cooey Newsreel, across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Excuse me. Michelangelo?
Stay away, I'm busy.
I wouldn't interrupt you if it wasn't important.
Oh. All right, then. What is it?
Well, just a small point, really, Mr. Michelangelo.
Come on. Spit it out.
Well, David was Jewish.
What? Oh. Oh, right. Well, this won't take a jiff. Now clear off or you'll get some of the same.
Sorry to keep you waiting, driver. The house was much later than I expected.
That's all right, sir. Where would you like to go?
Oh, straight to the airport.
The aeroport.
307, where the hell are you? You're supposed to be taking her to the Japanese Trade Commission. Don't tell me it takes 2 hours to cover half a mile.
You are a parliamentarian, perhaps?
No longer, I'm afraid.
You must know many, VIPs.
Never think of it.
Okay, 307, so the Japanese trade delegate's gone to the Adonis massage parlor. Look, I don't care whether the booking was originally for Mademoiselle Fifi, just don't forget your camera.
Nice part of town, this.
What's that?
I said this is a nice part of Canberra.
Boring place.
Yes, I used to have a lovely split-level dacha down by the lake.
527, pick up package from rubbish bag outside Ministry of Defence. Your contact will be dressed in a green opera hat. Roger, 527.
I don't know why they use 507. He's so unreliable.
Look, 503, if you can't read the microdot, you might as well go back to Lubyanka. I'm not here to teach you your job, comrade. What do you mean he's wearing a blue cap with a checkered band?
Can't you turn that bloody thing down?
Well, yes, I have an excellent stereo.
Bloody thing down?
Black. Wrong tape. But I know you will like this one.
The famous Mr. Woons had to join the jobless queue. The Chinese laundry never found out why. But although he's been retrenched, and it really was a wrench, he's got a new profession, he's a spy. He can steal a Russian plan, or a blueprint from Japan. He's lately caused a diplomatic row. If you've had Reds under your bed, you'll find Wu there now instead. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a secret agent now. At Asia, he's the best. He can harass or arrest. Mr. Wu is quite the bluntest type of mole. With his oriental flair, he is fearless, but he's fair. At catching surf, he's bludging off the goal. He's got books of secret codes, computer ciphers in 10 modes. And Mr. Wu has made a solemn vow. You need never be alone. There'll be a bug inside your phone. This Mr. Woo's a secret agent now. Mr. Woo disarms a rocket where it lies. He can mingle with the folk in his dagger and his cloak. Mr. Woo's a quick change master of disguise. John Le Carre signed him up for a monumental book. He thought it time that Smiley took a bow. And the ladies get their kicks from Woo's endless dirty tricks. Since Mr. Woo's a secret agent now.
Two cups of whale blubber and some grated walrus and allow to stand.
Okay.
Oh, look, shut that door when your lovely igloo's getting cold.
That's the only kind of igloo there is there. What's for dinner?
Whale meat again.
Don't know where, don't know when, but I know.
Oh, that stopped being funny years ago, Nanook.
Sorry, love oil. I had a tough day at work. I hate dealing with polar bears. They just won't listen to reason.
Oh, my poor little seal basher. Come over here and rub noses.
Yeah. How was your day?
Oh, not too bad. I went over to Baffin Bay to see the icebergs.
The icebergs? I didn't know they let sealers in.
No, the icebergs. You know those big white things that float in the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Mum. Hi, Dad.
Oh, shut that door, will you? And wipe your knees.
G'day, Terry. How was the beach?
Oh, it's okay. Oh, I didn't go in, but it was frozen over.
Sit down and have your dinner, Pet. It's whale meat again.
Don't know where. Ow, what did I do?
She's in one of her moods again.
Yeah, well, I can't stick around for tea anyway. I just come home to pick up my baseball bat. Me and the guys thought we'd go night clubbing.
Oh, all right. But I don't want you staying out all night. Be home by 1:30 January at the latest.
Give the boy a break, dear.
Thanks, Dad. Say, can I borrow the sled?
What? Ah, all right. But watch the front left-hand dog. There's a knocking in the big end.
Righto, Dad. See ya, boy, huh?
Oh, and shut that door!
But igloos don't have doors.
Shh. Don't let that John Farkas hear you say that. We'll freeze to death in here.
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Colin Bowles, Peter Smalley, Angela Webber, Adam Bowen, Lance Curtis, Ken Matthews, Steve Johnson, David Witt, Alan Hobbs, and Neil McClellan. Production assistant was Linda Hughes, script editor Julianne Ford, sound effects John Farkas, technical production Warwick Maber. Slightly Out to Lunch is produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Galileo looked out one sunny morning and saw a star. That star became the guiding light of all astronomers.
She's dead. Nothing is going to bring her back now. Nothing. Kirk, nothing.
Roger, you got to forgive yourself.
Oh, shut up. Dreary old bag.
Was it Indians? Who did this?